On Saturday, 7th of November, Near Media Co-op hosted a conference on the subject of radio and TV as a learning resource. The focus of the conference was on an exchange of views and experiences between media and education practitioners to explore how community media can produce social benefit type content of a broadly educational nature. The conference was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. Near FM's Flavia Mosca-Goretta spoke to some of the panellists. First we will hear Leticia Aguado, Media Director and Producer with Wakala and Head of the BA in Film and Video Production at Coláiste Dúile together with the University of Wolverhampton. She is followed by freelance digital media producer and web developer Rob Carr. And finally, Flavia speaks to Dr. Pádraig Travers, the chairperson of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
What is the relation for you, what is the link for you between education and media production, education and broadcasting?
Well, I think all good media production can be potentially used in education, and I actually would be a bit wary of media products that are specifically constructed to educate because they can have a very short shelf life. But I think the broadcasters need to be more open about product that is both educational and entertaining, because most producers, that's what they want to make, but there's actually harder and harder to get the financing from it. But what we teach our students in the BA is to make well thought out, well researched and meaningful either drama or documentaries.
What are the challenges you face?
Financing and distribution, which normally come together. I mean, you can make a great program, but if already doesn't have somebody's support or a broadcaster is invested in showing it, it's very hard to get it out there, because the internet as well, online distribution, is a very, very crowded place. So it's difficult to do both, get the money and then get the audience.
And how do you think it could be possible to overcome this?
Well, I think broadcasters need to take more risks. I get very excited with broadcasters from Northern Europe, for example, Sweden and Norway and Holland and places like that. They're much more supportive of more in-depth projects, and then they take the risks and they see there's an audience for them. I was particularly inspired lately by Slow TV from Norway, where they broadcast a seven-hour train journey, and they thought they were just broadcasting for 2,000 train spotters, and they got the entire nation watching, from like young people to much older people, and taking it as an experience. They took a leap of faith. So instead of knowing or thinking you know who your audience is, maybe let them choose and let them see what they think is worth it from the point of view of the broadcasters. In terms of education, I think not also getting caught up in that line of make things that are based on tricks and visual tricks and audio tricks and cut and fast and really develop the theme and the story of the projects rather than try. It's about the way they're made, but that should serve the theme and the content really, and that needs time to develop and critical thinking. If the content is good, which means it's been well developed, it's been well researched, it's been well written, then it can speak to people, it can be used to exemplify certain things, certain situations, whether it be political, social, economical, like it can talk about many things, rather than be programs that tell you how to do things or that teach you. There should be programs that start conversations in classroom type situations. I tell the students to develop things that are important to them. So naturally, they're like, I never think, oh, am I talking of like a Spanish filmmaker in Ireland? No, I'm talking like who I am. So obviously, all my background, cultural and everything that I've lived will come into play, but it's not the only thing that defines me. With our students, we do the same, talk about things that are important to you. They might come from real events, things that you've envisaged, or things that you feel passionate about. So naturally, their own environments are going to come into play, but we never look at them as, oh, these may be students from a disadvantaged area, or these are who they're talking to, or anything like that. For me, they're potential filmmakers, and that's how, with interesting things to say, and that's how I approach them.
My name is Rob Carr. I'm a freelance digital media producer and web developer, and I'm here today discussing a television program I made for Cultivate and DCTV. It was called The Power Down Show. It was basically a television program about how communities can respond to climate change and peak oil, and it's a television program we made about in 2008, and it was based on a course that Cultivate had developed, and it was mainly developed as course material for that course.
Was it for schools?
No, it was actually for adult education, and it was made for the organisation itself, and they needed materials, like video materials, to basically enhance their course, and this just seems a really good way to do that.
And what is, for you, the link between broadcasting and education? What is educational broadcasting for you, and why do you do it in that form instead of pamphlet? Or
I think you can engage people in a different way. I think the medium itself, I suppose, engages the senses that just... like you said, writing a pamphlet or standing in front of someone talking can't do.
Why?
Why? Because I think people, I think the visual impact of a piece of media is really important, and I think you can also gather in very quickly, you can gather in ideas on a very complex topic like we were trying to do on climate change. So we could go out and interview the top experts in the area. We could interview, maybe in one program there might have been 10 different interviewees. Like, it took us a lot of time. We had to be very concise in editing down exactly the essence of what those people said, and to get that amount of expertise into a classroom in a very short amount of time would be impossible to do any other way. And you know, there is something to be said about seeing and hearing the expert in an area discuss what it is you're thinking about, because they can drive home that point a lot quicker than anybody else can.
Why focusing on education?
Well, I think especially adult education. I think from a point of view of what we were doing, we very much wanted to educate people about climate change, but not only about climate change, but about what they could do about it. Because climate change is seen as a big scary thing that we're all just spectators of. But actually we're not. We very much have a choice about what we can do about it. And an education empowers people. And I think the point was made here already, which I thought was very interesting. You know, we've reached a place in this country especially where we've lost a lot of our traditional establishment institutions have kind of been discredited now. And we need to engender a new civic sort of a pride or a new civic sort of purpose. And the way to do that is with education.
Is it like a way to raise awareness?
More than just awareness. It's actually empowering people to do something about it. And the education, the knowledge is the power to do that.
And what was the feedback?
Feedback from our program was really good, actually. The course was delivered hundreds of times and in several different countries. And I think that people are always quite surprised that we had actually made this program ourselves, because, you know, it's not often you get a chance to do something like that. It was a huge opportunity for us at the time to do exactly what we wanted, because like I said, we were already pulling in media from different places to try and help us in our in delivering the course, but to actually have made the exact media we wanted was fantastic, and that could be, and people could see that as well. All the television programs themselves are accessible. They're all on Vimeo and can be seen if you just search Power Down Show on Vimeo. All 10 parts of the video are accessible to view and to download.
My name is Porrick Travers. I'm the chairman of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
What is the current situation regarding educational broadcasting?
There is a considerable amount of educational broadcasting taking place, but I would say that it's not within a very systematic framework. There's considerable amount of funding comes from the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland under the Sound and Vision Scheme, directly or indirectly. But we have a much less well-developed educational broadcasting infrastructure in Ireland than in many other countries.
And why?
Well, perhaps it's a lack of vision. I think the early founders of broadcasting, people like Ed Morrow and Lord Reith, had a vision for the transformative value of education in broadcasting, but we were slow to follow suit in Ireland. There were interesting examples of education broadcasting with Telefiche Scola in the 1960s and the 1970s, but funding was withdrawn at that stage, and we've been gradually trying to build it up again, and there are some excellent examples at today's conference. There are some excellent examples of innovative educational projects, but we need our more of them and more funding. With the decline of traditional powerful institutions and church and state, one has to develop a sense of citizenship within a democratic republic, and broadcasting and the broadcasting service, public service broadcasting, plays a vital role in maintaining and enhancing the quality of a democracy. It gives citizens at all levels access, and that's a key responsibility of public service broadcasting, give access to ensure that there isn't uniformity, that there is a diversity of voices being heard, and that people are engaged, so they are facilitated in being active citizens in an active democracy.
And how can media productions, broadcasting production, be used as a learning resource?
Well, all broadcasting, all kinds of broadcasting can be learning resources. It depends how they're used. I mean, if they become too didactic, then they'll be boring and people will simply switch off. But all forms of content have the capacity to be used. All kinds of broadcasting should be explicitly or implicitly educational. It requires a certain amount of imagination, and it depends very much in the context as to whether the educational environment that you're talking about is a school classroom, is a university, is a college, is an adult education group, is a book club, is a senior citizens club. In talking about education, we really should be talking within a lifelong learning paradigm from the cradle to the grave, and that all forms of learning environments, formal and informal, can be supported directly and indirectly by broadcast and by broadcast content.
So does it involve also a sense of responsibility?
Well, it is a responsibility, I think, to live up to the challenge of the early pioneers of broadcasting, that who saw a fantastic potential, and there is now a sense of, in some people's part, of disillusionment that perhaps broadcasting and the media are more concerned now with marketing, with selling, rather than going back to the original motto of Lord Reed, the first Director General of the BBC, which was to inform, to educate, and to entertain. I think probably in the contemporary media we concentrate more on the entertainment and less on the inform, and certainly less on the educate.
And one other point raised during this morning's presentations was the accessibility.
Access sort of can be interpreted in all sorts of ways. Access to production, access being able to access the resources, but also being able to access being on the other side of the microphone, as it were. The important thing is that broadcasting shouldn't be about passive consumption. It should be about active engagement. And some of the best examples that we've heard about this morning, some of the best examples of educational projects are those that have involved people in doing, engaging with their own learning, and where the educational broadcaster is a support rather than a replacement for formal instruction.
What is still need to be done?
Well, I think we need a clearer structure for the support of educational broadcasting. I think we lack that, and I think we also need more guaranteed funding, when there is some possibility of improved funding as the economy improves. But it can be very difficult for broadcasters and programme makers, particularly independent programme makers, who want to make more educational and slightly less commercial programmes, to get the funding. And I think more needs to be done to facilitate that and to facilitate access to funding.
Has the BI any plan already?
Well, part of the the reason I'm here is not so much to talk, but to learn and to listen. What was begun today by this excellent conference was the beginning of a debate about educational broadcasting and how it should develop. And the BAI will certainly contribute to that debate and will take on board the kinds of things that emerge from it. And I hope it'll have some influence on the development of broadcasting strategy in the period ahead.